stated before, it is good to see everyone who has chosen to gather with us this morning. We appreciate your attendance. Most of all, we are glad to have brethren, those who are concerned with serving the Lord and following Him, to join with us so that we might honor and praise Him. It is good to have your numbers back. Most all of you who are visiting have been here before. We're here a long time ago, and it is good to see your faces. Some were talking, remembering times past. But our purpose in gathering here this morning is not to remember the good and bad times of the past. It is to honor and praise our Father in heaven and to worship Him as He has laid down, and to take opportunity to look into the pages of Scripture that have been preserved for us so that we might learn better how to serve Him and learn better our relationship that we have with Him. And we want to consider this morning the idea of clay for the potter. The image that is set before us in Jeremiah chapter 18, by God sending Jeremiah to the potter's house, is an image that emphasizes that God is in control. He is the potter. And as He tells Jeremiah very plainly, He can do whatever He desires with the vessels that He is making. Now, in the text that is before us, God is talking about molding nations. And as we read a little longer than I had originally intended, we read on down to verse 10 because I wanted to include those verses that emphasize that if we are doing what God wants us to do, God will mold us into something great and useful, and we will be exactly what He would have us to be. But if we turn ourselves against God, and if we refuse to be molded into the image that He desires, He will mold us into whatever we can become. God is in control. And His control, His desire for us, is that we be vessels that are useful and honorable to Him. But if we refuse that molding, He will allow us to go away and become something that is not useful. And that's the image that's here before. And I know when we think of the potter and the clay, oftentimes we think of that positive side of God molding us, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But I want us to notice that the text here is talking about, and it's talking in reference to nations, but the principle applies to us as individuals. The text is reminding the nation of Israel that God will allow them to be wicked if that's what they decide to do. He's not going to force anything upon us. And that change can come after a great deal of molding has already taken place. We'll consider that a little more as we go further into the lesson and consider these things. But as we pointed out, the main point, the point we want to make at the very beginning is God is the potter. He's the all-powerful. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the one that calls the shots. He makes the determination. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah says, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the thing you are making say, 'He has no hands'? Woe to him who says to a father, 'What are you begetting?' Or to a woman, 'To what are you giving birth?'" In other words, the created being doesn't step back and tell the Creator how to work. Just like the child doesn't tell the father or the mother. It's the other way around. And that's what's emphasized here with this idea of God as a potter. He's the one in control. "But now, O Lord," Isaiah tells us in chapter 64, "You are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter. And all of us are the work of your hands." We're pliable. We're changeable. Some of us can change on a whim. Some of us resist change, but we are changeable. God can mold us into anything. He can use us for anything, and that's shown throughout the pages of Scripture. We won't go back and read, but there's a number of places in the Old Testament Scripture where we see that God used various ones to bring about destruction, even though they were evil. Pharaoh comes to mind. Nebuchadnezzar. Various other ones that we read of. God will use us. But we need to understand that we are affected by what's going on around us. We're molded by the hands of God, but we're molded by the events that take place in our life, by the influences that we allow to come into our life and to form us. There's a reason that the Bible tells us that evil communications or evil companions corrupt good morals. There's a reason we don't leave rotten apples in the basket with all the good ones. Because it will harm the others. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Brethren, I beg you to serve God as you are. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You ever pulled a stuffed animal out of a box that's been packed really, really, really tight for a long time? And you notice that the head of your favorite teddy bear is square on the back? He's got a corner? Because he's conformed to the shape that's surrounding him. We're the same way. We are conformed by those influences that we allow into our lives. That's why it's of such importance, and I'm glad I got a bunch of young people here this morning. It's of such importance that we're very careful who we make our friends. I'm concerned for the youth of America because they're surrounded by things that will deform them in the eyes of God. The equivalent of a stuffed teddy bear with a sharp corner in the back of his head. We have to be careful, but hey, when I did this lesson, I wasn't planning on speaking to a bunch of young folks. I got old folks here I speak to, myself included. And we need to remember that we still are formed by the influences around us. And we determine those influences to a great degree. Sometimes we don't have a lot of control about who we have to hang around with. If we've got to go to a job and work, then we have to work with our coworkers. We have to deal with the people that come into the place of business, whatever it may be. But we can determine for ourselves where we spend our own time and what we do with our own time. And how are we forming ourselves with that? Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds in the Word of God. Well, it didn't take long in the lesson at all for me to tell you you need to read the Word more often, did it? The more time we spend with God, the more we're going to be shaped as He wants us to be shaped. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves of obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? We need to be slaves of God so that we conform to His image rather than slaves of the world and conform to its image. Those that we put ourselves in contact with will form us, leave lasting impressions. If we place ourselves in the hands of God, we'll be molded according to His purpose. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, "I have no delight in them." While you still can, train yourself to serve God. Train yourself in His ways. So that when you get older and it is more difficult to train you, and Let's be honest. The older we get, the harder we are to change. You will already be with God. I mean, old dogs, new tricks. It's not impossible, but it's much harder. Some of us are past that point. We've already gone into the old dog part. I hope we've already learned the tricks that we need, that we're conforming ourselves to the Word of God. God needs to be the one that's in charge, for He is the potter. He makes the determinations. He will use us as He sees fit. He will allow us to be shaped into that which is pleasing and useful to Him, or He will allow us to refuse His shaping and to be molded into the things of the world. And as we look this morning, that leads to eternal damnation, fire and brimstone, with Satan and his followers. See, God has a pattern for us. We watch some how it's made from time to time. And when they talk about some of the things that they make, they talk about using a pattern to make it. Even those who are doing pottery sometimes have a pattern. Or they'll have a pattern for a certain part, and you'll see them having a little piece of wood or cardboard or something that's shaped the way they want it to be, and they'll hold it up against that vessel, whatever it may be, as it's spinning around on the potter's wheel. And slowly but surely, with just a little bit of pressure, that vase or cup or whatever it is will begin to conform to that pattern. God has a pattern for us. I hope you already know who our pattern is or what our pattern is, but the Scripture tells us the pattern for us is Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, beginning, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." To the Colossian brethren, Paul said, "have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." And Peter's voice in 1 Peter chapter 2, "For you have been called for this purpose, as Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." Christ is our path. We need to be conformed to the image of Christ. And just a note there, there's only one pattern. One of the things I learned from my dad that actually stuck with me is if you're cutting boards, you want them to all be the same length, you measure them by the same standard every time. That may mean that you cut one board to be the standard and you mark or cut all other boards based on that one board, but you don't take the third board and cut it based on the second board. And you don't keep doing that down through there. If you do, by the time you get, to the fourth or fifth board, you're going to have a longer board than you started with, because you're using a different pattern. We need to make Christ our pattern. He's the one we conform to, not others who are like Christ. I know the Scripture tells us, Paul says, "You follow Christ as I follow Christ," or "imitate me as I imitate Christ." But Paul's not saying, "You make me your pattern." He's saying, "You use the same pattern I use." Christ. Here's the image that we need to conform to, and we need to conform to the image of Christ. We need to do everything we can to press Christ up against us in such a manner that we become identical to Him. Somebody says, "Well, now wait a minute. Jesus committed no sin." That's right. He committed no sin. You know what your pattern is? A sinless, perfect human. Yes, I know He was God while He walked on earth, but the pattern is a sinless, perfect being. That's what we're shooting for. Now, we're not going to achieve that because we're imperfect. We may have a bubble. We may have a knot somewhere. But what we're shooting for is perfection. Just like that potter is shooting for a perfect image of that pattern, so that everyone comes out identical to the original. Everything that God allows to happen to us has an influence on how we're shaped. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But we're being transformed because there's a goal in mind. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning when we talked about the final day of judgment. Paul told the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 3, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state to conformity with His own, with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." We're transforming ourselves into the pattern of Christ so that when we get to that final day, we can be like Him for all eternity. A son of God. In the presence of God. In heaven. Forever and ever. John says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We're working to make ourselves in the perfect image of Christ all through life. If the potter keeps spinning that wheel but stops holding the pattern, the shape is formed. If we at any time in our life decide, "I've been working at this for a long time and I have achieved this level of goodness and I'm doing so well and I don't want to make anything any harder on myself, I want to stay where I'm at," we lost. That pattern has to be held up against us all our days, working out all the imperfections. It bothers me sometimes when I hear older Christians talk about how we commit many, many sins every day. "I'm always messing up." Well, I understand that we're imperfect and we're going to make mistakes and there's going to be problems. But if we're pulling ourselves closer and closer to the pattern that Christ has left for us, shouldn't we be sinning less and less? Shouldn't we be able to avoid those things at some point? Some of those things anyway? Now, don't get me wrong. Dan's not saying we're going to reach a place where we're actually perfect. No, we're not. We're still going to have some sin. But while we recognize we're sinners, we shouldn't be in such a condition in our life that we have to pray to God, "Lord, please forgive me of the thousands of sins I committed since yesterday." It ought to drop into the hundreds sometime or another. We ought to get better. Temper that with the fact that the more we learn, the more we find out we're messing up sometimes. We ought to be working for perfection because we're after the pattern of Christ. I think another thing that we see, and while this is not necessarily the message that Jeremiah is getting from God in reference to the nation of Israel, we may mention God's telling Israel, "Hey, either you shape up the way I want you to, or I'll allow you to turn into wickedness and I'll have nothing to do with you." We also see the patience of the potter. When we think about this particular situation, and I know most of us have never sat down at a potter's wheel. may have never even seen a potter. I have had the opportunity to do that one time. The potter is patient with what he's working with. And he's willing to work with what he has. If the vessel doesn't shape right, he doesn't cast it out. He just starts over with that lump. Makes it into something a little different. Maybe he'd intended to make a big, tall, 12-foot vase, and when he got started, he realized if he got up above about 6 inches, he was going to have too thin of a wall. He wasn't going to be able to... I said 12-foot, didn't I? I meant 12 inches. He got up above about 6 inches, he wasn't going to have a thick enough wall for the thing to stand up, and so he had to adjust. He works patiently with that. Just thinking about this lesson this morning, and I don't think in terms of I've never done much pottery. But woodworking, I understand a little bit about it. In fact, as I was thinking this morning, I said, you know, I can see some of this in even putting down the deck boards I've been putting down at the house. If you work with wood very long, especially long pieces of wood, you're going to lay one up beside another one that you are pretty confident is straight, and you're going to find a gap either in the middle or at each end or at one end or something. They're just not going to flush up against each other. It's just going to happen. And when I was working on the deck, I looked at it, and I had a board that was that way, and I got to look at it. It had a big old knot in the middle of it, in the middle of the board, kind of on one side. That's what's happening, that knot's pulling that board in. Maybe I don't know enough about wood. It may not be the case. But I was able to take that board and make it look like it was straight, make it flush up, well, really close to flush up against the one I was putting it down beside. I went up here on this end, and I screwed it down good. And I took me a pry bar, stuck it down, and I bent it over, and I screwed that down. And I pushed it a little more, and I screwed that. Took my time. And Jimmy, who knows wood over there, could probably look at it from 6 foot away and say, that board isn't straight. But to me, that board matched. Yeah, there's a little gap here and there. But because I took my time and worked with it, I was able to work that board into where it needed to be. I got that image better than the potter's image. Patience. Taking the time to work with it and shape it the best you can. There was another board that I flipped it around, and I finally got one side that went up there flush. And it looked better because I worked with it a little bit. God works with us. He's patient with us. And He will use what He has. I've seen some sculptures done in wood that they made a sculpture and it had eagle wings, and what they had done is when they started, they had this piece of wood that had two big arms coming off of it, and they just turned the wood into what the wood could make. They could make a big eagle with its wing spread because they had a split log or a forked tree. That's the word I'm looking for. It matched what was there. God takes who we are and turns us into what He wants us to be if we let Him. He's patient. He will work with us. He will work on us. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I'll tell you what, Peter knew about that. Peter knew about that. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 22, we read Jesus warning Peter. He says in verse 31, beginning, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail you, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." But he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." Jesus says, "Peter, when you come back, wait a minute, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be with you all the way." We're down about 30 verses into verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had told him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Just a few hours earlier, "Lord, I'm not going anywhere. and then I do not know the man. Yet we read in Mark 16, verse 6 and 7, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here's the place where they had him, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." He singled out Peter. "I got work for you." And who was it who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached that sermon? Peter. Who was it that testified regarding the transfiguration? Peter. If anybody knew about the patience of the Lord, Peter did. The Lord is patient with us. He will work with us if we allow Him to. What we become depends upon how we respond to the work of the potter. If we defy His workmanship, if we refuse to submit ourselves to His molding, He'll cast us out. He'll have nothing to do with us. It's my understanding that every now and then, a fellow that's making pots is going to get a hold of some clay that just won't work. He just can't do nothing with it. No matter how he works with it, no matter what he tries, it just won't do what he needs to do. All he can do is cast it aside. In Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 19, Paul says, "You will say to me, then, why does he still find fault? For who will resist his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, 'Why did you make me like this?' Will it? Or does not the potter have right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And He did so to make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy which He prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom He also called not from among Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles." Paul says God's going to use every vessel. Every lump of clay will be used. Some will be used to demonstrate His wrath. And some will be used to glory. That's where we read of various kinds of vessels that we can be. It depends on how well we allow God to work with us. Each one of us is still being formed into the vessel God wants us to ultimately be. If we're allowing Him to mold us. We're each responsible for our own decisions. We're going to do what we want to do. But what God wants is for everyone to be saved. For everyone to be molded into the image of Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. God has plans for us. Plans for us to be like Christ. I kind of cringe a little bit every time I see that verse referenced online. God has plans for you. Because the context indicates that what they're saying is, whatever terrible thing just happened to you, that's part of God's plan so that something great's going to happen to you here on earth. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to become like Christ. We can refuse the plan of God, or we can accept it and allow God to mold us into the vessel that He would have us to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Again, an image of various kinds of vessels. You go look up in the cabinets in your kitchen and you're going to find some cups that your wife does not want the public to see. That chipped glass or coffee cup that you've been drinking out of for ages, that it's seasoned just right and does what just what you want, but when company's over, you get one of the fancy little cups that's got shiny pieces on it. But you know what? That old chipped coffee cup has more honor to you than that fancy little cup does. Honor is not based on what we look like. Honor is based on how useful we are to the master, how well formed we are to the pattern of Christ. By yielding to God, by turning to Him for our shaping and our molding, we can become a vessel of honor that will proclaim Him through this world and will be able to be with Him for all eternity when this life is over. If we refuse to yield to the molding of the potter, we will be cast aside, thrown into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone that was prepared for Satan and for his followers and his servants. The potter is all powerful. He can make us into anything. But as he told Jeremiah in relation to the nations, he has chosen to allow us to either accept or reject his mold. It's up to us. God is not predetermined who is going to be saved and who is not, as a sense of an individual person. But he has said, those that will be conformed to the pattern of my Son will be saved, and those that refuse such conformity, I will cast aside. The question for us this morning is, am I letting God mold me? And what kind of vessel will you make? Will I be a vessel of use to Him, or am I going to be a vessel that turns away from Him and does no good? Look in your life this morning. Are you conforming to the Word of God? If you find that you are not, then we urge you to change your way. Submit to the will of the Lord. Confess it. Be obedient to His will and have your sins washed away through baptism, that you might be a creature pleasing and honorable to Him and you can be a part of His family. Take any steps in the past and you find this morning that there are areas of your life that are missed. You need to correct it. Conform yourself to the pattern of the Son. Confess your wrongs. Seek forgiveness from God and His promise that He would. Will you let the Lord have His way with you? If you need to please respond, we stand and thank you.